Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
On Thursday afternoon was the Adam Schefter report that Aaron Rodgers is unhappy with the front office of the Packers. By the weekend, a couple of days later, Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports reported that Aaron Rodgers may sit out offseason workouts or could threaten to retire if they do not fire their GM, Brian Gutekunst. Now, Gutekunst was in charge of drafting Jordan Love a year ago, and it feels like that is by and large most of the reason that Aaron Rodgers is unhappy. I mean, Rodgers has been in the NFC Championship game back-to-back years, so I don't know exactly how deep the criticism of the roster would go, considering it's good enough to get to the doorstep of the Super Bowl back-to-back years. But Rodgers reportedly, from this Robinson Yahoo Sports report, believed that the Packers had a one-year play for him, 2020, and that they were going to move on after this season, this past season, and that Rodgers scuttled the timeline because he ended up having one of his best seasons ever and being an NFL MVP. He shoved it right back in their face, and so this offseason, he wanted to renegotiate to get more guaranteed money and more guaranteed years and more guarantees from the Packers that he was their solution, their guy for the next couple of seasons. And Rodgers reportedly believes they won't budge because they still don't trust Rodgers for two or three more seasons and still have thoughts of a bridge to Jordan Love. And this is why Rodgers, again, reportedly is unhappy and wants out. Three teams that have come up for Rodgers: the Niners, the Broncos, the Raiders. The one thing they all have in common, the West Coast, by and large. I know that people in Denver would certainly argue we are not West Coast, but the point is that reportedly, again, he wants proximity to Los Angeles, where his wife is, who's a Hollywood actress, and he also wants proximity to Jeopardy, where they tape the game show. So this is all part of this stew that has just a dash of cheese in it, as Aaron Rodgers reportedly want out. Is Aaron's time in Green Bay finito? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
I do think he'll play for us again. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to work towards that. And we've been working towards that on a number of different fronts. You know, the value that he has to our football team is really immeasurable. You know what I mean? He brings so much to the table, not only as a player, but a leader. So important to his teammates, to his coaches.
I'll always remain hopeful and optimistic, and certainly we'll always welcome him back with open arms. He knows exactly how not only myself, but our staff and our players feel about him. And, you know, like I said before, I just can't imagine him not being in a Green Bay Packer uniform.
Aaron hasn't said anything like that to me and certainly hasn't said anything publicly. So I think it's a little unfair to kind of, you know, put that on him. But, you know, listen, you certainly don't like to hear those things, but at the same time, it's kind of part of the gig in the National Football League. So, but no, nothing's been communicated directly to me.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Mark Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That is Gutekunst, the GM, and Matt LaFleur, the head coach. During the Kentucky Derby Mike Tirico reported he had talked to Aaron Rodgers off camera and that Rodgers is disappointed that the rift has become public, but didn't deny it. So here are my big takeaways from the weekend in this situation. It's real, because if it weren't, Rodgers could put out this fire. It's real because Gutekunst stopped short of saying this is a false report. Gutekunst said he hasn't expressed that to me. And it's real because we've heard rumblings of this dating back to last year when the draft pick happened. I will reiterate my point that I made last year on this weekend. It was a mistake. It was a mistake then. It's a mistake now. It'll always be a mistake. Because the Green Bay Packers jumped the gun on the end of Aaron Rodgers. And if you're going to draft Jordan Love, you better be ready to basically go along with your plan. If that is 1 year with Aaron Rodgers, then now you've got to make your bed and sleep in it as well, even if Rodgers is an MVP. What you have shown here, as you're saying, I can't imagine Aaron is not a member of the Packers. We want him here a long time, is they had to reevaluate and start doing damage control. Well, you should have thought of that when you drafted Jordan Love. When you drafted Jordan Love, it was a thermal detonator. You knew this. We all knew this. We all knew the moment you drafted a quarterback in the first round, traded up to get him, you had put a ticking clock on Rodgers' career in Green Bay, and he wasn't going to like that. Rodgers isn't Alex Smith. Okay, Rodgers isn't a play nice, I'm cool, going to help the next guy out. Hey, whatever you guys want to do is cool with me. And that is part of the problem. You were not dealing with a normal quarterback willing to move on. Now, let's also say this. Throughout the history of the NFL, legendary quarterbacks being asked to move on is also never, ever, ever met with a friendly, oh, yeah, great, good job, guys, I'll do that. Montana and San Francisco, a frosty relationship with Steve Young. Tom Brady in New England, P.O., they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, at the end wanted out. None of these guys are happy to hear you don't think they can get it done anymore, and they end up ending their career elsewhere. Nobody's happy. So you knew this was going to happen, and you took that shot for Jordan freaking Love. That's always been another part of the problem for me. If the Packers were drafting 1, 2, 3, 4, and they had this slam dunk, can't miss, like the Colts had with Andrew Luck. Look, the Colts were betting on Luck is a franchise guy, and we absolutely believe we have to make this choice because we may never get this good a choice ever again. For the Packers, it was a reach. It was a reach, and Rodgers wasn't coming off some terrible season. He wasn't coming off some awful injury. Rodgers was coming off a season where they did go to an NFC title game. So you were that close already to having a winner draft a guy that can help Rodgers out instead of drafting his replacement in the first round. And if you draft a guy in the fourth, the fifth, the sixth round, you can sell to Rodgers, hey, you're our guy. This is just a project. When you trade up in the first round to get a guy, you can't sell him on that. This was a huge mistake by the Packers a year ago, and it's coming to roost now. The second part, Rodgers' responsibility. Look, Rodgers invites drama. Rodgers invites the diva qualities that we get frustrated with. He likes creating a storm, and we know him with chips on his shoulder and feeling aggrieved, and he's never respected and clashes with coaches. This has happened almost his entire career. Rodgers has a good dollop of diva in him. And so now he is going to make life a living hell on his front office. Is it cool to say fire him or trade me? Not really. I mean, that general manager, again, say what you want about not drafting a wide receiver or whatnot. That's a general manager that has helped build a roster again and hire a head coach that's been good enough to get to back-to-back NFC title games and the best record of the NFC last year. to me, it's really hard to look at Gutekunst and say, yeah, you're doing such a terrible job, you should be fired. This is Rodgers saying, because I'm Aaron Rodgers, I can flex and get you fired. That's really not that cool. It's not that cool. Rodgers wanting to play for those three teams, and I don't know if that still includes the 49ers because they just drafted Trey Lance, so I'm sure they're not in a hurry to want to get rid of him in a trade for Rodgers or have Rodgers there for 3 years and never play Trey Lance if you trade 2 ones to go up and get him. Is that with the Raiders or the Chiefs? The Raiders or the Broncos? Is that a better situation with the Chiefs as the franchise to beat in the AFC or maybe the NFL in that division? I would say no. You know, if you're Rodgers and you're banging trash cans to get out to Denver or Las Vegas, it's very short-sighted. What exactly do you think is going to improve on your situation going to the Raiders, even the Broncos, if you've got to play the Chiefs twice a year and you're unlikely even to be a division winner, thus playing wild card weekend and on the road? You think you're getting to an NFC championship game, or rather an AFC championship game, or a Super Bowl that way versus in Green Bay? If this is just about spite versus Gutekunst, again, that's short-sighted. This should be in your final 2 or 3 years of the NFL. Maybe it's longer, but let's just say 2 or 3. This should be about getting that final Super Bowl. And this has been something I've talked about here for weeks now with the Jeopardy thing. It doesn't feel like Rodgers at this point in his career, with, let's say, 3 seasons left, is all in on absolutely winning that final Super Bowl. It feels like Rodgers is scattered. It's a spite and a war with Gutekunst. It's a 1 foot in jeopardy. It's a let's be closer to Hollywood. It's a I'll prove you. I want it my way, no other way. And look, Brady has given the Rodgers, the Russell Wilsons, the Deshaun Watsons of the world this kind of blueprint on, if you're a franchise QB because you're so valuable, you start calling the shots. And if you don't like it, you force your way out. Carson Wentz, another degree of this. And the issue with all of them is they ain't Tom Brady. I love Aaron Rodgers as a football player. I love watching Aaron Rodgers. I love Rodgers as a member of the Green Bay Packers. I love watching Rodgers in that uniform, in that stadium, in big games. I love it. But Rodgers ain't Tom Brady. Tom Brady's one and only reason for leaving New England was, I believe I can do it somewhere else. Watch me do it. I'm going to go win a Super Bowl somewhere else. And then he did it. Russell Wilson ain't that guy. He's not that good. Carson Wentz certainly isn't that guy. He's not that good. Deshaun Watson doesn't seem like that guy. He's got a whole host of other situations and problems. And for Aaron Rodgers, no offense, Aaron, but you're not Tom Brady either. Brady kept getting it done when it mattered most, in every situation humanly possible, and then proved again he could do it. Rodgers hasn't done that. Rodgers has had some really great playoff games and some really great regular seasons, but when push has come to shove in the playoffs, he's been lacking just a little bit. And to now say, trade me, trade me, trade me, or fire him, I'm going to go prove it somewhere else. You know, not everybody can be Tom Brady. I think Rodgers needs to realize, unlike Tom Brady, he's surrounded by a championship-caliber roster. Brady wasn't at the end in New England. That much was obvious the moment that he left, and the last year he was there. And today, as the Patriots have had to spend their way out of the plastic bag of poor drafting, the Packers were the number one seed in the NFC last year. It's really ugly, and it's because of both sides, and I'm not sure that you can reconcile it. I'm not sure that Rodgers will allow you to reconcile it, because he's that type of guy. And if he's that type of guy and the Packers have to trade him or fire Gutekunst, that's a really problematic situation. And I don't know what they would choose. I really don't. I don't know what they would choose. frankly, I think you should choose Aaron Rodgers for 3 years. And you've got to trade Jordan Love, and you've got to fire Gutekunst. So you've got to say, we can find another GM, but we can't find another Aaron Rodgers, maybe ever. I think that's the way I would go. I'm not sure that's the way the Packers are going to go. And if you're going to trade Rodgers, what does that cost? What is the trade value for Aaron Rodgers? Does it start with 3 firsts? I mean, if moving up to get to trade Lance was 2 firsts, and that was just moving up in the first round, and if Matthew Stafford's 2 firsts, I mean, Rodgers is 3 firsts, right? 3 firsts and then some.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no way you're found it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
Eat, breathe positive thoughts, no matter how low it is, and Najee Harris is a great example of this. There were some really great stories that came out of the NFL draft. A lot of really inspirational, cool stories of people overcoming odds and doing amazing things. And Najee Harris is one of those guys. He grew up in the Bay Area. And when he was young, his mother and 4 siblings went to a homeless shelter. They were out. She was out of work and they were out of a home. And there was a homeless shelter in the Bay Area that they lived in for a number of years before his mom could get back on her feet and get a job and get them out of the homeless shelter. Well, think about Najee Harris then ending up at Alabama as a 5-star recruit and becoming the All-American running back that he was, then drafted in the first round on Thursday night by the Pittsburgh Steelers to be their guy. There's going to be expectations that he is the guy for the Steelers. Well, Najee Harris, remembering his roots, threw his draft party at the homeless shelter. He went back there with his family and catered it for everybody at the homeless shelter and bought food and party favors. They had a draft party, everybody at that shelter. And Najee Harris had some amazing quotes about this. He said, "There was a time that I needed a helping hand, and they gave us an opportunity to get back on our feet. So it is my job to give back." This is a young man that everybody believes is a great football player, but a greater person. And Najee was asked about what this was as a message to young people or to his community or to the homeless shelter in general. And he said, "I wanted to make sure that I could give back to the people around me and show them that if you guys need anything, I'm never too big or too whatever to help you out. I'm always going to be the helping hand." There was video of the room that his mom and his 4 siblings lived in, and it is tiny. It's a bunch of bunk beds and a really tiny room. So just to imagine, you know, living in that shelter for a number of years growing up, he said it was really emotional to go back, that his mom was crying because a lot of flood of memories came back. But that's an amazing story on a lot of different levels. Number one, it's a young man that's not embarrassed of something like that, but instead sees the value in it. And I think we all should do the same thing. Homeless shelters across the country and all of our programs that help out people that are less fortunate, in need, just need a bounce back, just need a soft landing spot to help get them on their feet again, are absolutely vital. There should be no stigma attached to having to live there or needing some of that help or taking the handout. There should be no stigma attached because people do great things after that all the time. Number two, for Najee to say, "They gave us this and now it's my job to give back," gives me chills. It's the type of perspective that very few people have, but when you have it, it's a powerful thing. And also, I just think it's important for Najee Harris to shed light on the success stories of something like that. I know Deshaun Watson right now is in the middle of a really ugly legal situation and a criminal situation potentially. But Deshaun Watson was also a success story of Habitat of Humanity, where an organization where Warrick Dunn's been one of the faces of it, a former NFL Pro Bowl running back, helped single parents with families in need of a permanent residence, help giving them that and help pushing forward their life. And Deshaun Watson was a beneficiary of that and seemed, up until about a couple of months ago, to be an amazing success story. I just think it's important to make sure we remember that there's great people coming out of situations like this. And you can do it. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now that have hit really difficult economic times, job times, family times, everything, and thought, man, how do I get out of this? Will I ever get out of this? And stories like Najee's is really powerful because there is a way to put one foot in front of the other and to keep moving forward and to keep a positive outlook. Like Little Mo teaches us, remember to just stay positive and you can make your own path. So I saw that story. I was so impressed by Najee. I know that I've said, man, I would not draft a running back in the first round, even the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would have drafted offensive line there, but believe me, I am rooting for Najee. I'm rooting for the Steelers to have nailed this draft pick. I hope that he crushes it and becomes a perennial Pro Bowler because his personality and his work ethic and his perspective, the type of young man that he is, according to everybody around him, is even better than him as a football player. So I'm rooting like hell for him and for the Steelers to have nailed that draft pick. What an awesome story. And again, there was a bunch of them that just made me go, wow, that is cool. That came out of the draft. I was really impressed by a lot of young men and their stories and how they got drafted in this draft. That was a really cool weekend of paying attention to some of the backgrounds that we didn't normally hear before. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, hit me up, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Mraz, what do you think is the fallout over this Aaron Rodgers situation? And do you think Gutekunst is going to end up being fired because Aaron Rodgers says it's him or me?
I do not. I don't. I think the guy who pulls the trigger on saying it's either him or me is the guy you let go of. And if I'm the Packers, I wouldn't wait much longer, because if Rodgers only has three more years, so to speak, that price of getting extra first-rounders is only going to go down. And to the Raiders' point or the Broncos' point, the fact that he's already highlighting where his wife works as far as getting closer proximity tells me that the fear of, do you really want to play Patrick Mahomes twice a year? How much does Aaron Rodgers really care about winning divisions if he's only going to focus in on going to teams based on how close they are to where his wife is? And he's already talked about Jeopardy. I'm not so sure the idea of playing Patrick Mahomes twice a year and winning a division is the biggest thing on his mind in trying to find a new place right now.
Might not be. He might be the type of guy that says, I don't care, and I'm going to beat him anyway. Maybe Tom Brady felt that way going and playing New Orleans twice a year in the NFC South that was the territory of the Saints. Now, again, Rodgers hasn't said any of this publicly. This was part of Charles Robinson's piece for Yahoo Sports, which had the biggest bombshell. On Thursday, Adam Schefter reported that there was discord between the two and that Rodgers was unhappy there, and it was pretty definitively unhappy. Robinson then just added 5 gallons of fuel to the fire, poured it all over the raging inferno to make it even bigger, by detailing that Rodgers says it's him or me. I'm threatening to hold out. I will retire if you don't fire Gutekunst. And Robinson made the conjecture that it would be to go to the West Coast to be closer to his wife and to be closer to Jeopardy. We'll see what other reports come from this, because it feels like now the buzzards are circling. And if you're the Packers, you've got to bet on Brian Gutekunst and Jordan Love over Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And that's a hell of a risk to take. And Jordan Love is going to have as much pressure as any young quarterback perhaps ever has had. I mean, yes, you could look at Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay in that situation, taking over for Brett Favre, but Rodgers was a potential number one overall pick that slid and was there for 3 years before he got the job. So they knew what they had in him. Jordan Love's been there for a year. They don't really know. and Love was potentially a reach where they got him in the middle of the first round. If you're Love, you've been now put in an impossible situation. I mean, Jordan Love has got to be a Pro Bowl quarterback or else. He's never going to be Aaron Rodgers. He's never going to be one of the greatest of all time. He's got to be just a Pro Bowler to make sure they look smart enough. But it means that because of you, Rodgers is no longer, an all-time great is no longer there, and everything that you don't do will be compared to everything that he did do. And you will take over, if this is the offseason, for a franchise that went to back-to-back NFC Championship games. So again, anything less than that makes you look bad.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember that the DA show is available on your phone. You can watch us at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. You can stream us using the Odyssey app, which is the formerly the radio.com app, or you can listen to us on the CBS Sports app as well. Here is Justin Fields, the newest member of the Chicago Bears, on the criticisms he heard about his game leading up to the draft.
There's definitely been a lot of criticism, but, you know, me, at the end of the day, I feel like I know, you know, myself. I know how much work I put in the game. I know how much I love the game. I know how much I want to be great. So it just comes a point in time where you just have to cut, you know, all that criticism out.
So Fields had had a couple of knocks against him that perhaps he wasn't the most coachable guy or he wasn't the first guy in the facility, last guy out. Remember, that had popped up and then you had the Ohio State Mafia come to his defense and say that that's ridiculous. And Ryan Day said that was ridiculous and said that had to be walked back by Dan Orlovsky. Kirk Herbstreit came after Orlovsky. At the end of the day, I think the Bears made the right move there. I think Justin Fields has some great football in him. If he can untap it, well, that will make him great. And if he can't, oh well. It's not going to be long in this league for him. But the Bears had to do something. They had to do something because they front office that's on the hot seat. They've got a fan base that is irate about Andy Dalton being the starting quarterback. They've got a guy in Andy Dalton who last year was unbelievably underwhelming despite having a lot of good offensive pieces around him in Dallas. And so the Bears were kind of forced into doing that. Is Fields the perfect prospect? Obviously not, or else he would have went earlier than 11. And obviously he was the fourth quarterback taken, so there were question marks about him throughout the NFL. But the Bears selecting him at 11, they've just got to right now roll with whatever those question marks are and try to untap his greatest potential. And if they can, they'll save their jobs. And if they can't, they'll lose their jobs. It's as simple as that. Here is Albert Breer from SI and SI.com and Monday Morning Quarterback, who joined Moose and Maggie on WFAN and had an interesting conjecture about Aaron Rodgers in a potential landing spot.
I'll give you a fun one.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Ha! Little switcheroo? Little swap trade?
John Schneider, the GM there, has a relationship with Rodgers. He was part of drafting Rodgers in 2005.
But does Wilson want to go to Green Bay?
Russell Wilson played college football in Wisconsin.
Yep. Yep.
Now, I don't know if, I don't know how Sierra is going to feel about like going to a place that's about the size of Morristown, only not near a big city, you know, but I'm sure
she's got a lot of fans there.
That's one that sort of makes sense, right? Like to some degree, it could be like you take on our problem, we'll take on your problem sort of thing, you know, and everybody gets a fresh start and.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense, in my estimation, because both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are dictating where they go. Rodgers isn't just saying, trade me anywhere. He's saying, trade me, we think, to the places I want to go or I will retire. So it's not like the Packers can just trade him to anywhere. So he's got to want to go to Seattle. Does he view the Seahawks the same way he views apparently the Niners, the Raiders, the Broncos? Is just getting to the West Coast his only priority? Or does it have to be a certain proximity to Los Angeles? What don't we know about his wants with a roster? We also know that Russell Wilson wants greater control and a better set of weapons, what have you. Does he, again, he wants to go to certain places. So you have to convince both quarterbacks that their different destinations are where they want to go, and they both have to sign off. That's why I think that this is highly unlikely, because it's about getting both guys to be happy, not just one. If you're trading away Aaron Rodgers for draft picks, you just have to work with the three or four places he wants to go. You then don't have to worry about the other quarterback and the three or four places he wants to go. But this is going to be our offseason, you realize. Where will Aaron Rodgers land? And finally, here's Mac Jones, who joined the Zach Gelb Show, good get, back in September. An interesting foreshadow on his NFL draft capsule. Here's Mac Jones.
I'm up to 218 pounds, so it's good weight, too. I don't think I'm fat, but some people might call me a little chubby. But I feel like it's good weight, and you know, just adding that weight makes me feel more confident, taking bigger hits and things like that.
What's your snack of choice that gets you a little bit extra chunky?
I'll probably just say my girlfriend, she makes me like 10 cookies every night. So I eat those, and they're just normal chocolate chip cookies, and she bakes for me and I eat them. So
in all one serving, you're taking down 10 chocolate chip cookies, like you put them in the fridge and then the next thing you know, they all disappear?
Yeah, 10 on a plate, and then in about 10 minutes, they're all gone.
Well, that'll do it. I think we now have the secret to Mac Jones's boiler, and that is 10 cookies every night. But look, I feel his pain. You know, if you ever have the fresh baked cookies, the Pillsbury or the Toll House, and you chop them up and you put them in the oven and you break them out and you put them on a plate and then they're on your counter in front of you, how you say no and push away from that plate, I don't know. I've never had that type of self-discipline either. Those chocolate chip cookies, that is my weakness as well. So in some ways, I can understand the pain of Mac Jones. I do think it's interesting that Mac is eating 10 cookies almost every night. That definitely can add to the boiler, and that'll add up. Those calories will add up, but at least he thinks that'll help with hits. I'm not sure if that's the way that necessarily works. It looks like it's kind of all in his belly. I'm not sure how many hits he was taking directly to his belly button, but at least he's there to convince himself of that. Nice job by Zach Gelb getting the inside scoop on how Mac Jones got chunky. Note, I'm not using the F word. And that is your sound check this morning here on the DA Show. A kind sir as our headline this morning, Mr. Andrew Bogish. Good morning.
DA, good morning again. LeBron James is unhappy. His scuffling Lakers in danger of ending up in that play-in tourney. On one hand, LeBron believes his team will be fine as long as he and Anthony Davis are healthy. But
we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired.
Oh, that guy needs to be fired. LeBron said that. Yep, after a 121-114 home loss to the Raptors, he scored 19, then sat out the final 6 minutes because of ankle soreness. His team has dropped 6 of 7, dropping to 6th in the West. They and the Blazers have the same record. After Portland's 129-119 win in Boston last night, the Blazers will lose the tiebreaker, and they would be in the play-in at the moment. The Suns held off the Thunder, 123-120, are now tied with the Jazz for first in the West. The Kings beat the Mavs, 111-99 for a three-game season sweep. The Heat took care of the Hornets, 121-111, and the Knicks dumped the Rockets, 122-97. Julius Randle, 31 more points. His team has won 11 of 12. Packers GM Brian G tells Peter King that only one team called him during round one Thursday after news broke of Aaron Rodgers' unhappiness. We know that team is the Niners, because John Lynch already told us that. Goody ended that call quickly and got no others, apparently.
Gunty,
the Mets survived. The Mets survived Philly last night, 8-7 in their rubber game. New York scoring six in the eighth, capped by a Pete Alonso three-run double. But the Phillies almost got even bottom nine. Reese Hoskins thought he had a tying three-run homer, but review made it a two-run double instead.
Bogues, in real time,
Bryce Harper struck out.
Bogues, in real time, did you think that that was a home run by Reese Hoskins?
Aren't you sweet for thinking I was awake in real time? I was in hopefully deep in REM sleep when that happened. The last thing I saw was Didi's homer after Lindor flew out meekly with the bases loaded, and I gave up at that point thinking they were going to lose 14-2. So the shock to wake up to an 8-7 win, couldn't believe it.
So the Mets lead by three in the bottom of the ninth. There's runners on the corners, and Hoskins lifts one to right field. It's going, it's going, it's going, and then it looks like it lands in the first two rows of the stands and then bounces back out of the field, and Hoskins rounds the plate, rounds the bases, hits home plate. The crowd that was there, sparse, but still there was crowd going crazy, and it looks like they've tied things up bottom nine, and it's just like, oh, of course Edwin Diaz gave it up again, served up the meatball again. And they were going over it, over it, over it, and you couldn't tell whether it bounces off of the first row of seats or the pole that borders the seats and the wall. And it turns out if you kept zooming in and in and in, it hit the pole and bounced back. And so they've got to bring him back onto the field. The crowd's like, oh, no. But then there's Bryce Harper, who's hitting, what, 310 with six home runs already this season. So you're like, oh, well, they'll lose anyway because here comes Bryce Harper. He's definitely going to stroke a double. And he gets him to strike out. So it was kind of like cardiac kids type thing. But it was impossible to tell, I thought, in real time what happened. I thought it was a home run as well.
Yeah, I watched it three or four times this morning and never saw a definitive view, really, in either way. I couldn't tell, and I just gave up and said the Mets won, so I don't need to be upset about this. So I'll take the call as it is.
The scene at Manchester United over the weekend was insane. It's Man U taking on Liverpool, who are essentially the two. It's the greatest rivalry. It's the greatest matchup of historic franchises in the English Premier League. So think of it kind of like Red Sox, Yankees, maybe a little like Packers, Giants, if the Giants were really good. When they play, they usually decide, you know, big time matchups, big time games, championships, etc. Two of the most historic franchises in the league and the wealthiest teams. So you have Liverpool taking on Man U, and Man U fans hate the Glazers. Absolutely hate them. Now, the Glazers own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. They hate them. The Glazers have owned Man U since 05. And so for 15 years, 16 years, they have just hated Malcolm Glazer, hated the Glazer family. Look at them as parasites, as taking money out of the team, not sinking it back into the team. Since they took over the franchise, Man U has not been one of the great winners in the Premier League or the Champions League. They do spend money, but everybody, all Man U fans, hate the Glazer family. And so when it was learned that the Glazer family was planning on being part of the cabal that was leaving the Premier League to form the Super League, oh, this was the final straw for Man U fans that already hated the Glazers. So they end up showing up outside of the stadium this weekend, and they are barricading and blocking the team buses, the player buses, from getting to the stadium. They are not allowing the buses to get to the stadium. And so as these protests and this march and this gathering happens, the players and the team are stuck in their hotels. They cannot leave because the fans will not disperse. The fans are waving banners and flags and setting off smoke bombs. I mean, it is a scene out of a movie. And they eventually break into the stadium. There's a couple of hundred of them that break into the stadium. They get on the field. They're in the tunnels of the stadium. And there's Man U employees that are hiding. They are worried about what will happen if Man U fans find them. They are hiding behind doors and in offices. eventually, the fans that made it inside the stadium, they're also waving their banners, etc., eventually are arrested or pulled out of the stadium. But this is a show of force from a fan base that, again, absolutely hates the Glazer family. So what does this mean? The only way they're going to be happy is if they force Malcolm Glazer and the Glazer family to sell, which I just don't imagine happening. I mean, the Glazers have been hated for 15, 16 years. What's another protest to them? Even though this was as ugly as it's ever been, I can't imagine a family of billionaires just suddenly goes, oh, they hate us, we better sell. It doesn't feel like they've ever cared that they've been hated. But I think what the Super League dissolving and these shows of protest and defiance, I think is only going to ratchet up the empowerment of soccer fans, that they have a voice and they will be heard. And if you don't care about being arrested and you don't, and there's enough of you, it can get pretty diabolical. They care about soccer in a different way than we care about our sports. It's more like college football, but even college football, you know, college football fans, I think there's still a certain distance because a lot of those fans didn't attend that school and it's still students. These, it's a little crazy. There's always other sports too that we care about here in the States. I mean, imagine Alabama football fans or LSU football fans or Ohio State football fans didn't have any other sports, like didn't also have their basketball team, but then also didn't have an NFL team or a baseball team or an NBA team or what have you, only had Ohio State football. That's it. That's the type of passion. And also that, like, Ohio State football began as a beer league football team that, like, your great-grandfather started and played in, or you were part owners of Ohio State football. I mean, it's a different type of thing. I think for soccer teams across the world, and specifically for the 15 or the 12 and the Dirty Dozen, if you will, and then the others that were rumored, those teams that threaten to leave, there is hell to pay for a while. And if fan bases see that they can get stuff done, like pull the teams out of the Super League, if they see they can get stuff done, like enter into stadiums and set things on fire or overtake a field or whatever, they're going to become empowered. They're going to become empowered to have their voices heard about what they don't like. And I think if you are one of the 12 teams that lit the loyalty of your fans on fire to go to the Super League and totally underestimated how passionate they were and how angry they would be, you better be scared to hell right now. You better be scared to hell. And what I hope is that every ownership group here in the States as well start seeing the power of the fans to mobilize and to make your life look awful and ugly. Because I think we here in the States have a bunch of owners that just live in their ivory towers and don't really think anything that they do will ever be met with that much scorn. And I think we've lost a lot of our voice and we've lost a lot of our empowerment. And I think these, while I would never advocate for violence or being arrested or anything like that, I do think these shows of protest should scare a lot of owners into thinking about us as fans more. Billy in RVA tweets, this Rodgers situation reminds me of the movie Law Abiding Citizen. I'm just getting started. I'm going to pull the whole thing down. I'm going to bring the whole diseased, corrupt temple down in your heads. It's going to be biblical. Rodgers is the type of guy that wants to bring everything down. He wants to burn it to the ground unless he gets his way. And how the Packers didn't know that, I have no idea. I mean, think about the guesswork that they were going on a year ago. They're guessing that Rodgers is going to be bad at football again. He wasn't. And I say again, I mean, he was pretty good 2 years ago, but he wasn't MVP. So they're guessing on him sliding backward as a talent. That didn't work. They're guessing that Aaron Rodgers also is going to be cool to a certain degree with his replacement being drafted and not light fired everything and force people to be fired or threaten retirement. They're guessing that there's some level of diplomacy in there for Rodgers. They are wrong on both counts. And I don't think you needed to be Brian Gutekunst or Matt LaFleur to think, yeah, you're playing with fire there with Jordan Love. I mean, the moment that Love was drafted, the entire NFL world gasped. It was as dramatic as any pick last year. They drafted a quarterback in the first round and traded up to do so. And Gutekunst obviously is a pretty good GM because they've got a roster that's pretty good again, and he keeps finding young players, and he hired LaFleur, and they were in back-to-back NFC title games, so things are working out relatively well. But what type of poker play is that to think that that's not going to lead to a lot of problems? You know, it's if you were going to draft Love, you have basically got to say, even if we're moving on in a year, even if Rodgers is awesome, we're moving on. That has to be your stomach. It has to be your volition. It has to be where you stand. Because if he ends up wanting to get you fired, shove it in your face, threaten retirement, what have you, you got to be ready to move on. And are the Packers today ready to move on? It doesn't sound like it. They're all talking about how they want him there long term. So it just completely blew up in their face. And there's so many historical precedents to this. Joe Montana didn't like Steve Young being there. Brett Favre didn't like Aaron Rodgers being there. Tom Brady didn't like Jimmy Garoppolo being there. None of those, it didn't end well for any of those QBs. They all left. So why exactly he was going to be the outlier? Rodgers was going to just be like, yeah, no, I get it. It's a business. I mean, how could you bet on that? Robin Topeka tweets, Justin Fields should tune out all these so-called experts. The same experts said that Mahomes had bad footwork accuracy issues and won't make it in the NFL. I think if you're a draft pick, honestly, you could always find the motivation, because there's always somebody that didn't believe in you. There's always some draft nick, some type of expert, some type of analyst, some type of tweet, some type of breakdown. You can find anything you want on the internet. So if you want to find criticism to use it as a motivation, plenty. There's plenty out there. Plenty. And what was hysterical about Justin Fields was Dan Orlovsky saying, I've heard that he doesn't like to work very hard. And then the wrath of Khan just coming down, sweeping on his head. Kirk Herbstreit, how dare you say Justin Fields doesn't work hard? And then Orlovsky meekly going, oh, I talked to more people and stop hitting me. He was really, really good. Oh, ouch, ouch. Oh, please, please, stop hitting me. He was really good. He's going to be a really good draft pick. Did I say that right? Standing by for our headline of this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogus. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. Let us relive the moment where it seemed the Mets had blown a four-run ninth-inning lead, presumably setting up their latest heartbreaker.
The 2-1 on the way. And Hoskins hits it in the air to right, pretty deep. Conforto back. He leaps. It is gone. A home run. Rhys Hoskins apparently has hit a home run. The ball ricocheted back in.
That's Howie Rose on Mets Radio. There is a phone ringing in that call.
Oh, my.
I think that's MLB headquarters already calling in to review Hoskins' homer. They did. The three-run homer became a two-run double because the ball didn't clear the right field fence. So the Mets still led 8-7. They won when Jerry's Familia K'd Bryce Harper for the win.
That
crisis averted.
That was just a robocall for a refi for Howie. Howie's mortgage.
I mean, it might have been. I do think Howie is working from home, not from Citi Field, so it could have been anybody calling him on a Sunday night. The Yankees, meanwhile, should have mentioned this already, had the worst team in baseball in the Bronx all weekend. Huh. They beat the Tigers 3 times, only 2-0 yesterday, but still, Aaron Boone's team is now 14-14.
Okay.
I'll say it again. We're not where we think we're going to get to. We think we can still play much better baseball.
The Yankees are 2.5 games behind the Red Sox in the AL East after Boston dropped 3 of 4 in Texas. They're 3 games behind the Royals for the best record in the league, but there are 6 teams between them. Now, I believe
13
Saturday
days left
is
now. 13 days left.
Right, for the best record in baseball, but I think Saturday is the cutoff for first place in the East, right? The first mile marker here?
No, I think that it's Wednesday, isn't it? May 5th?
No. Timeout. I said by Saturday, which had nothing to do with on the air, the bet that they would be in first place in the AL East, which they will be.
No, I know.
By May 15th, they have to have one of the 3 best records in baseball, so we are 12 days away from that, and they are 3 games back of having that.
But you guaranteed on Twitter that the Yankees would be in first place by this upcoming Saturday. So they need to jump both the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. 2.5 games. Got to make up 2.5 games by Saturday for your guarantee to be right.
Which
and
will happen.
In the next 12 days, they've got to be one of the 3 best records in baseball. And yet they're only .500 right now.
3 games back, though, of the best record in the American League. Not even one of the 3 best records in baseball. So they're right there. That's how bunched up. I'm right there. I'm going to win this bet.
Sure.
NBA last night, a Sixer escape from San Antonio.
Down to 6 seconds to go in OT. Gorgie Jang guards Joel. Embiid in the lane. Mills driving. Here's a shot by Joel off the back. Tapped in by Simmons. And it counts. They're going to see that would be a game-winning shot. The buzzer sounded. Looks like the Sixers have won the game.
This review actually went Philly's way. Tom McGinnis, Sixers Radio, the Ben Simmons hoop. Just his 2nd basket of the night, giving them a 113-111 win over the Spurs. The Sixers now lead the Nets by a half game atop the East after Brooklyn lost in Milwaukee yesterday afternoon. The Suns got even with the Jazz atop the West with a 123-120 win in OKC. Devin Booker scored 32. The Blazers beat the Celtics 129-119. Miami won in Charlotte 121-111. And the Raptors outscored the Lakers at Staples 121-114. Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry combined for 76 points. The Lakers are now 6th in the West, winning a tie with the Blazers for the moment to avoid that play-in tournament, which again, LeBron said, whoever thought of that should be fired. Sam Burns won the Valspar Championship for his first PGA Tour win. Kyle Busch won the NASCAR Cup race at Kansas, and the Seattle Sounders a 3-0 home win over the LA Galaxy in MLS last night. And now, we're stunned.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Thanks to Jeremy Koster for sending this one my way on Twitter. Another day with me not having to look for a stunned story. Walker Washington was sentenced to over 8 years in prison last week in Georgia. It's a federal case, so there's no parole. So he is serving that whole bad boy. Then 3 years of supervised release as well as paying $300,000 in restitution to 19 different businesses. Now, what did he do? Well, Mr. Washington and his co-defendant, Aaron Barnes Burpo, who was sentenced to 7 years behind bars, pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit wire fraud by pretending to be reps of Roc Nation and or members of Wu-Tang Clan.
Really?
They had fake credit cards, so they walked around saying we're from Roc Nation or we're Wu-Tang. They rented hotel rooms, limos, had catered parties apparently. They bought some stuff as well, of course. And again, all of this under the ruse of being from Roc Nation or from Wu-Tang Clan. But bad news for them, the smart employees at a Fairfield Inn and Suites in Augusta, Georgia, sniffed out the scam, called the FBI, and now these guys are spending a long time in jail for fraud as Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay. This is pretty awesome, because if you're going to claim to be from a rap group that still has some juice, but its members, it's kind of cloudy and murky who was in it and who wasn't in it. You'd have to go Wu-Tang. Because it's like, yeah, I guess you could have been like the ninth Wu-Tang member. I can't even remember all the Wu-Tang members. There's Method Man. There's ODB. There's RZA and GZA. There's Ghostface Killa, but there's also Masta Killa. There's Raekwon, U-God, Inspecta Deck, and Capadonna. I don't think I'm missing any there. If you were just to claim you were one of those guys, it'd be hard to deny. You can't claim ODB because he's dead. But everybody else, you're like, yeah, I'm U-God from Wu-Tang. You'd be like, okay, yeah, I don't remember U-God, but
that... come on in. What can I get you?
Yeah, no, it seems right. I don't know. You can. Yeah, I was a member of the Wu-Tang Clan. You just don't remember me. Be like, yeah, I guess that's true. I don't remember everybody in Wu-Tang, but Wu-Tang's cool. I see their T-shirts all over the place. This makes sense. Wu-Tang. You were in the Wu-Tang? Oh, man. Oh, Wu-Tang. Hey, Kevin, this guy was in Wu-Tang. Yeah, one of the Wu-Tang. You got to come over here and meet him. Like, that's the perfect hip-hop group. If you just, if you were like, yeah, I was one of the Fabulous Five, or I was one of the Funky Four. You'd be like, oh. Those guys are from like the 70s. Yeah, I was one of the Sugar Hill Gang guys. You're like, no, you weren't. I know the Sugar Hill Gang guys. You know? You're like, yeah, no, I was in Run DMC. You're like, no, I know Run DMC. But if you say, yeah, I was like the ninth guy in Wu-Tang, you'd be like, yeah, I guess that's true. That makes sense.
It is a whole clan, so there's a lot of options. Right, right.
This is awesome. So they were just posing as these guys and calling up and stealing people's money, I guess, using that.
So and what I want to know is, like, how elaborate was it? Like, did somebody call and say, hey, I'm coming with A and B from Wu-Tang. What yeah. Can we rent a couple of hotel rooms? So, like, do they try to, like, almost sneak their way in so no one could see them and go, that's not Capadonna? So I don't, like, that's what I want to know, how elaborate this went to get the ruse going. But it worked for a while until somebody at a Fairfield Inn and Suites in Augusta, Georgia was like, not so fast. You guys aren't Wu-Tang.
Listen, I just watched the Wu-Tang documentary, okay? And I can tell neither one of you guys was in Wu-Tang. Quickly, what was your name? What tracks did you rap on? What album was that? Nah, you weren't in Wu-Tang. Also, how about this guy's name was Barnes Burpo? Now, that's quite, yeah. I mean, that's kind of quite the criminal mastermind name, wouldn't you say, Mraz?
Yeah, and honestly, if you told me Barnes Burpo was in Wu-Tang, that's the kind of thing, if
that's
you just gave
true.
Me a regular name, I might have bought. Like, that makes, yeah, I think there's also only one other group that this could have worked with. I think if they said we were two members of D12, Eminem's short-lived rap group.
Yeah, good one.
I think that would have been, that sounds right. Okay, you guys had that with the Purple Pills song. All right, yeah, I remember that. You know, Eminem, come on in. We'll throw you a party. It's the perfect cover-up because unless you're the one-off fan watching the documentary at the Fairfield Inn, you're going to assume and hold these guys at their word. There are plenty of people get away with doing that.
Let me give you the D12 guys, okay? And let's just see if Barnes Burpo fits in. Eminem, Bizarre, Proof, Bugs, IQ, Fuzz Scooter. If I added Barnes Burpo to that, it'd be like, oh, yeah, he was definitely in D12.
Buy it in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
He was number 12.
I mean, also, Barnes Burpo is a pretty good rap name. I feel like somebody should use that from here on out.
The question, though, D.A., is when they get to prison, do people, does Ruse still go and you start hearing, a member of Wu-Tang's coming in here? Or is it up by that time?
Yeah, that's the type of thing you don't want to mess around in prison. They're like, why are you in here? I faked being in Wu-Tang. They're like, oh, damn. No, you didn't. No. You don't mess with the Wu. You do not mess with the Wu. Don't you dare say you were in the Wu. Don't you dare say you were in the Wu, bro. Dog, this dude said he was in the Wu. Oh, hell no. Nah. You expect the deck? Oh, hell no. Nah. You Capadonna? Oh, hell no. Nah. That's how you get shanked in the lunchroom, is when you claim that you were in Wu-Tang. Don't you mess with that. Our new company, is our old company. We used to be Entercom. Before that, we were CBS Sports Radio or CBS Radio, and now we are Odyssey. So a little rebranding. It's the same owners this time around. Originally, Entercom had bought CBS Radio. Now Odyssey is just the new rebrand of Entercom. So it's the same company. So they ended up asking us if we wanted a swag bag. And we got to decide our swag bag. And so I chose the box with the earbuds. And then also they came with these blue light glasses. And they're plastic. They're little junky pieces of plastic. But they're black rimmed on the front. They're orange on the side. I don't know. Maybe they're dark blue. I think our company colors are blue and orange. I can't tell. But anyway, I'm wearing these things right now. And now we all have them. And we all look like a goof troop. We all look like we're going to get beat up in middle school a little bit later on today.
We look like the three Hanson brothers in Slapshot. <Me too.
laughs> And my first question is, I think mine are like slender. I kind of look like Jeff Goldblum in these. And it looks like that Bogues are wider, almost like Harry Carey. Is this just the shape of my face, or are your glasses different?
No. So I have – mine are not the free ones from the company. I've had these because I thought my eyes were – I've told you this before. I'm definitely need real glasses out of nowhere. But I got these first, and I didn't realize that I needed to pay attention to, like, what the frame – thing was. So I look like, to me, I look like Kenny Brock. Like, they're hipster frames. If I take my headphones away, like, I'm not cool enough to wear these glasses, yeah. Which is why you've never seen me in them. I take them off before I put my camera on because I'm embarrassed by the way I look in them.
Your name is Ethel and you're carrying some Werther's Original in your purse. Yes.
I like the Harry Carey too.
I actually am.
Would you eat the moon if it was made of ribs?
It's a simple question.
So, I was going to say, you look like the classic prop of glasses, nose, mustache. That's what you look like you put on.
That just goes to show you, I actually have a really big nose when they're framed by stupid glasses, but you just can't tell. I don't have glasses on my face.
And I don't know if this is in honor of Humpty, but like your nose just looks so like white.
I just saw that.
I don't know.
Quick,
why.
Do the Humpty dance.
Do the Humpty dance. It's your chance to do the hump. Come on, baby. I do the Humpty hump. Well, come on, I do the Humpty hump. Come here, fat girl. Are you tickling? She said, come on. I do the Humpty hump. Well, come on, I do the Humpty hump. I do have a really oversized nose when they're on these dopey little plastic glasses. I guess I can never wear glasses ever again.
But why is your nose so white? Like, why is it whiter than the rest of your head?
I don't know. It's very striking. I need to grow a mustache. This is going to be my disguise.
You look like Noah Eagle calling a Clipper game in 20 years.
I look like if Noah Eagle was a member of the Wu-Tang Clan. I'm Bozo Burpo.
why do Bogus look like his eyes are always fogging up? Like,
I don't know. And so, Mraz, are your glasses and my glasses the same? Because yours look a little different as well. Yours look like more normal.
Yeah, I think that's just because I have a fat face. I think that's why. I think you have a more narrow face and narrow nose. So you look a little weird. I can't imagine. They didn't ask me for my size when I picked my blue light glasses. I can't imagine they're pumping out different ones. Although you said you have... No, yeah, but ours, I think, are the same, right? They're like black on the outside, orange on the inside.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
They're supposed to block from computer glare your eyes and protect them. Now, this is the first time I'm wearing them. I can take them off or on. I can't tell the difference. They're slightly tinted, I guess, when I look at the screen, but it doesn't seem to affect my vision. You guys, though, are buying into these things? You guys think they actually work?
Yeah, I will readily admit it might just be a mental game on my part, but I never noticed having like slight headaches or a little fogginess in the immediacy after the show until I started splitting up whether I wear these or not. And the days that I don't, I absolutely do have a little fuzziness to it. And the days that I do, I feel perfectly fine. Yeah.
It's sad because now Cap has photoshopped me next to both Iron Eagle and his son Noah Eagle.
How do you do it so quick?
And remember, and I really do look like Noah now. Now I look like a way less handsome version of Noah. I look like the knockoff bootleg version of Noah. Like that, I'm the Noah that you get on Amazon. And I call the Clippers G League games.
The Noah you get in a three-pack.
Also, Kaplan had 12 hours to get me a Ben Volen gif. Somehow he has you whooped up with the Eagles in a matter of 30 seconds.
Also, remember the famous story that Iron Eagle saw Christopher Mad Dog Russo one time with Noah in tow. And Russo asked if that was Damon Amendola's son. And I was like, no, my son is 20 years old. That would mean like DA had to have a kid at like 14 when that happened. This was years ago or something.
Hey, duh.
So now it really does look like I'm Noah Eagle's like slappy uncle. Dad.
You're his like stepbrother.
It looks like, yeah. That I'm the Eagle that they've pushed out of the house. That they, you can't live here anymore.
New sitcom coming to CBS.
Yeah, everybody hates Damon Eagle. That's going to be the new sitcom.
After so two broke girls.
You guys think... two broke Eagles. So, you guys think these work? I don't know. I guess I don't. I can't wear these and anybody take me seriously. So I think I got to just maybe take them off during the show and wear them during commercial break to see if they work. I don't know.
You're the ultimate health conscious person out of all of
us. I know.
Here. I would think you'd be the one pounding the table for these working.
Well, I do think that staring at screens all day does screw up your eyesight, and I know that being in studio and looking at multiple screens and having giant TV screens behind me and around me and everything, it zaps you. Like, I walk out of the studio, I'm like, ooh, a little dizzy. But I can't take these seriously because they look so dorky, and I can't wear them on camera because I look so dorky.
So could you take them out and go to, like, you know, Pearl Vision and get your own frames for them? Is that
well, I'm kind of wondering, like, I mean, I can't get Bogusius because he looks like the dad from Up.
Edward Asner?
Come on, grab some balloons. We'll go for a ride. Come on.
Where's that graphic cap?
Bogues looks like when Scorsese finally hits the nursing home. Is that it's going to be his glasses? So I can't buy those either. I do think the concepts are good, so maybe they sell cool versions of these glasses. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll send you what I bought so you can avoid that and go in a different direction. The anti-review.
These are so stupid. And then Mraz wore them the other day and didn't tell anybody he was wearing them. Just like serious, studious Mraz. It's like they're free. They were free from our company.
Hey, of course. Wasn't buying glasses. Were you nuts? To be honest, it's the first time I think any of us have put on something, and I think I actually look the best. So I'm going to take it
you
as
do.
A win.
You
yep,
do.
You do. You do.
Take it as a win.
Yeah. Yeah. Bogues looks like he's legally blind, and I look like a shady insurance salesman that's like, or like a lawyer that chases ambulances.
Right. I look like Jake Lazor stopped doing MMA and got cataracts.
That's a very specific thing.
Mine look more like welding goggles.
Bogus is ready to drive a Buick.
I just want to see Bogus read The Night Before Christmas this December when he goes.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
All right, so we asked you guys who the Packers should support, Rodgers or their GM, Brian Gutekunst. And 68% of you said support the QB, Aaron Rodgers. Fun facts for Gutekunst, his Ryan father, John, was a college coach, compiling a 29-37-2 record as the head coach at Minnesota back in the mid to late 80s and early 90s. How about that? John Gutekunst was the head coach of Minnesota. Wow. His management roots are in scouting, as he spent 13 years as a college scout and 3 as a director of college scouting. And Brian Gutekunst played 2 seasons of college football at Wisconsin, but a shoulder injury put an end to his playing career.
Brian Gutekunst, or Gutekunst?
Lonnie tweets, happy Monday. I once broke my nose running into the outfield wall. It had absolutely nothing to do with my game controller bouncing off the wall and coming back in my face. Love the show. Awesome glasses. Wow. So Lonnie threw his game controller at the wall. It bounced back and hit him in the face and broke his nose. That's an embarrassing one. You cannot admit that. There's just some injuries you take to the grave. You can't admit it. You just got to say something else tougher or cooler or harsher happened. I threw the remote control at the wall. It bounced back and hit me in the nose and broke it. You can't. You can't. You have to come up with a better lie than that. So earlier this morning, of course, everybody around the country is going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers versus his GM, and it's the worst case scenario because you got all these people that have no idea how to pronounce his name. Uh-oh. Gouda. What? So watch all day today as people totally mangle his name. And earlier this morning, before we got on the air, Vince Quinn was filling in for Amy, and Vince had quite the tough time trying to come up with the correct pronunciation. So here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And now everybody in America is going to struggle pronouncing his name.
Gunty? Whatever. Gunty.
Not Gunty. Nope.
Time GM and Brian Gutekunst.
Vince, that was Vince Quinn hosting overnight right before we got on. Vince, avoid calling him Gunty.
Gunty for short.
No. That's going to get you into trouble.
Gunty, my man.
No. Mm-mm. Don't do it.
Brian Gutekunst.
No, don't do it. Definitely don't say Gunty, my man.
Gunty, my man.
No. That's going to get you into hosts of trouble.
T, my man.
Bogues, how many times have you listened to how Gutekunst is it's pronounced?
I still don't know what the right way is. In fact, I just am opening up the Green Bay Packers media website to see if they have any kind of guidance here, because the thing I've always worked off of was one of the local TV stations when they hired Brian.
I don't think Gutekunst has been terrible at drafting.
Gunty, did a story on how do you
whatever.
Say this.
Gunty.
And they went with Gouda, like the cheese, Kunst, like the former, I think, Packer player played for them. But now I've heard Gutekunst a lot, like, which was what you're saying.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm never going to be able to say this guy's name.
So all I know is that that first N is definitely not involved in the pronunciation. It is, there is an N early. It's G-U-M, but that N does not count. After that, I got nothing with any confidence for you.
Brian Gutekunst or Gutekunst?
Yeah, that's not it.
Could you go Gunty for short?
Antetokounmpo.
I haven't talked to Brian recently. I don't know how he prefers that, but I'm going to guess that's still too dangerous. Even if he wanted to be called that, I wouldn't call him that.
Gunty, my man.
You're Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, he wouldn't be my man anymore.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
We had Matt McGloin on the show last week. Matt McGloin, of course, played college football at Penn State, then had a decent career as a backup quarterback, mostly in the NFL. And once upon a time, Mike Francesa on WFAN tried to pronounce his name and called him Matt McLaughlin, Matt McLaughlin, and then Matt McClutherness. What would
because
Mike do
so many
today?
People are named that.
What would Mike do today
if he cares?
If he had to get Gutekunst out, it would be such a rodeo. I mean, I can't wait to hear Russo do this all day today. I mean, everybody that covers the NFL wanted to avoid talking about the Packers GM's name for as long as he was employed, and now they can't not talk about it because Rodgers wants him fired.
Hey, listen.
And unlike Giannis, you can't just lean on calling him the freak.
No,
the,
right.
The freak or the Greek freak.
Yeah.
You can't call him Gunty, my man. You can't do that all day.
By the way, I can't Gunty, even spell his last name. There is no N early on there. I completely made that up. So I don't even know where Vince is getting the N in his nickname either. It's not even there. He's putting himself in danger for it.
I need to wear those glasses to spell his name.
Mike going, Matt McGloin's Matt McClutherness is one of the all-time mistakes ever. McClutherness, that sounds like a fried chicken place.
Also, McGloin's an easy name. It's not Gutekunst. I mean, come on.
I can't believe Vince thought it would be easier to just say Gunty, my man.
Gunty, my man. Gunty. Gunty for short.
Amy's out all week, by the way. Vince is not in all week for Amy.
Oh, man, because that was going to be a roller coaster of emotions every single morning, waking up to hear how Vince pronounced the GM of the Packers' name. What's it today? You know, Gunty. Gunty, my man. No. That'll do it for us this morning on the show. Tomorrow, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to join us. Be here. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bilotti on the wheels, the Steel and Audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
Gunty, whatever. Gunty.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.